Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio, where our mission is to help you propel your business. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is our producer, Alan Dobrinsky, and my good buddy and co-host, John Baker. Good morning, John. How are things going for you, buddy?
Stone, they're great. How are you?
I'm tired, man. You know, we did this this remote broadcast, this boothradio.com last week.
Yeah.
Down in Orlando, so we had a great time. You know, I'm used to doing two, maybe three or four interviews a week. We did like 30 interviews in 2 days, so I'm worn out, but I'm here, and I'm excited about our guests this morning.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I had a crazy weekend also. I had the kids all to myself and wife running some crazy Reagan Hour race from Chattanooga to Nashville, Tennessee, and so we made it through, and she's back, and everyone's healthy, and we're rolling along.
Terrific. Yeah. Well, you look reasonably well rested.
Yeah, I'm all right. And my mom was in town, so she helped out a lot. That was a savior.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
So tell us about this morning's segment. Who are we going to visit with?
Our guest today is Mark Fishman, and Mark's an employee with Kane and David, which is a CPA firm. And Mark, I want to thank you for coming on today. We're looking forward to a good discussion, and I've had Mark on with other shows that I've done. More on a CPA kind of mindset, and today we're going to talk a little bit about business and maybe a little bit on tax stuff. If you don't mind, that's okay.
That would be great. Appreciate the opportunity to come out and meet with you guys and to sit down and talk a little tax.
All right. Well, maybe, Mark, you could start off by giving us a little background on Kane and David and kind of what you guys do and where you fit into the world of accounting.
We are a CPA firm in Marietta, Georgia. And there's about eight of us there. We're more of a boutique accounting firm, just your traditional tax, audit, financial statements, and a little back office consulting work that we do with our clients. Our clients all range from manufacturing to distribution, entrepreneurs, individuals, some athletes, technology, telecom. So we got a nice variety of clients. I really like working with them. It makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, and how long have you been with them?
About 5 years now.
Yeah.
So came over from a prior firm and joined up with them and got offered to work with them and became a partner and just been excited ever since.
So we've got all these tax things going on that no one really knows where it's all going to end up. How do you do planning when you have no real clue of where we're going to end up in the landscape of the tax world in 2011?
This has been a challenging year. Because of those reasons, we have two major issues to concern when we're doing planning. One is we have laws in place today that are going to expire, and we have to plan for the expire. But if they don't, Congress will come back soon. We've got new senators, new congressmen. They're going to probably want to make some changes, and we'll have to enact those and let our clients know as soon as we can. In addition to that, if they do expire, you've got tax rates going up. So somewhat we are doing reverse planning. Usually you go see your accountant and he's like, defer, expense everything you can, keep taxes to a minimum. And now we're like, well, maybe you don't want to do that.
Right.
Maybe because if tax rates are going up, the same expense this year could be worth 2 or 3% more next year.
So what you know so far, and I know that anything can change, but who needs to be concerned in 2011? And who doesn't need to be concerned? What's a lot of hype, and what's the real problem?
I think everybody needs to be a little concerned.
I saw that one coming.
I don't know anyone out there who shouldn't be concerned, shouldn't be paying attention to the laws. Everybody is going to be affected if the rates go up. If there's an estate tax changes, those are going to affect most everybody out there who's working, whether you're a business owner or an employee. Investors need to be aware of it. Startup companies and existing businesses today. So I think everyone has to pay attention. Otherwise, you're going to get caught and, you know, you can be hindsight. And it's like, oh, we could have deducted this last year or this year, and it can make a difference in what tax you're going to pay in each year.
Yeah.
But we don't know. So, you know, it's also tough. Telling someone to pick up income this year because you think something's going to happen is never that easy versus telling someone to do it and you know it's going to happen.
Right. Right. If you're dealing with a lot of business owners, right, you're dealing with business owners and individuals as well.
Yeah.
Right. When you're starting up a new business, what are some of the things that you need to be aware of when you're building that business and starting to figure out what your tax strategy might be?
I think the first thing you got to do is figure out what type of business you're going to be. What, you know, you have your industry, you have your profession, whatever it is. And then you have to think, am I going to be a corporation? Am I doing it with somebody else? Am I a partnership? And, you know, it's a little what we call accounting 101. You need to know your basics before you choose your entity. So I think that's your big starting point. And then I try to encourage them to get the software, to not do it on Excel, their books, but to maybe go get QuickBooks. Spend a couple $100. It'll save you a lot of more money than that with your accountant.
We were just talking about that earlier when we started off, that you don't even know what software to buy, right? I mean, that was a question that you had, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I just started a business, so I'm going through that right now, trying to figure out whether to buy it or whether to hire an accountant or go at it by myself.
And Mark might say, just, you know, he's right here. He's got a business card. I think you might,
there you go.
Guys might want to talk after the meeting.
That's right. Yeah. He might be a little too boutique for me. I'm a one-man show.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of helping. And it's really, like I said, it's like accounting 101. You go through it. Okay, what type of entity? Where are you going? Who are your customers? What are you going to be doing? What are your risks? And then figuring it out from there. And then having someone get the software, because when you do give the accountant the shoebox, which everyone still does every once in a while, that is not
That's exactly
Stone,
what I
that's
have.
That's what you do, isn't it?
It's exactly what I do.
Stone comes into the CPA and goes, here you go. Here's right? my box, and you figure it out from here. I got to go. I got to go to my trade show.
That's right.
I'm out of here.
We do get the shoebox drop and goes.
Yeah.
But that's part of the job. But in order to prevent that and keep our fees to a minimum and keep the client happy, we do try to encourage a little self-work and get the software, sit down with it. Those programs are pretty good. You can go online and find out a lot of education about them. And then once you get them, I think you understand your business better, because you'll see what a balance sheet is. You'll see what a profit and loss statement is. And you'll start seeing, well, why is everything one way and this is negative? That doesn't look right. And it makes you ask questions.
Yeah. Now, what about you, Stone? What are you doing for your taxes?
Well, I have a CPA and, yep. you know, and a tax and stockbroker, three different people.
Yep.
And I just had my CPA call me and say, look, I know I'm not your stockbroker, but I want to talk to you about this Roth thing. And yep. right out of the box, I said, well, I thought there was a certain income cap.
Yep.
And he said, not this year. And I mean, it was a real quick conversation before I came out to the studio.
Yeah.
But I have been very bad about doing the shoebox routine. Not only the shoebox, but very late in the cycle.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate with the folks that I'm working with. They've been doing a great job for me. But I know I'm like their worst nightmare.
I can see that.
You bring that shoebox in on the 14th also?
Right, right. Absolutely.
14th of October is probably when he brings it in. Extension and
you caught me. I am. I'm like the last minute guy. And every year I say, we're not going to do that this year. You know, we're going to get on top of it. But I have a quick question for you. I am really quite satisfied with my existing provider, but if I weren't and I were beginning to look for a tax accounting professional, what kind of questions should I be asking them? What sort of criteria should I be judging against in selecting a good tax accounting professional?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you like yours. You know, I always like to hear good things about our profession. So as much as you want the business, you do want to hear people leave for other reasons and the guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
So that's always good to know. You just want to get someone you meet and you kind of talk, make sure they understand your family and business dynamics and can kind of help you with that. I think it's important also to find someone that you kind of gel with. I mean, you don't have to be best friends, but find someone that kind of understands your lifestyle, understands who you are, and can appreciate it. Because I look at it this way. I don't want my clients dictating my life like you guys don't want yours. So you have to train your clients. And, you know, that's what we work on. And that way you can control what your clients are doing with you a little bit better. But when you're interviewing one and you're selecting them, you know, fees come into play, location comes into play, technology comes into play, and obviously knowledge and expertise. And there's a lot of good CPAs out there that can meet that. And then you're going to go, well, I just like that guy better. I just gelled with him. You know, something he said, something she said, they did, or they represent, you know, I'm on board with it. And sometimes that's just, that'll go, because while you're working with your advisor, you don't want to change every year. You know, you're going to be with them for hopefully a long time. They're working with you on your money and your taxes. So,
and they know your history if you've been with them for a while. Personally, I do not begrudge that check every year at all. And part of it is because I'm the shoebox guy. And I'm like, oh, well, thank God. And I just, there's no way, I don't think, that I could sit down and do that myself and get anywhere near the, you know, and I've, mine's a little complicated. I have joint ventures and all that jazz. So I want some continuity in my provider, right?
Absolutely. And when you do interview with them, bring your return, you know, show them what you've got. Let them be prepared and sit down and say, I'm doing the following things. How familiar are you with these? If your return's complicated, let your advisor know. So while you're interviewing them, you know, he can also answer the right questions, and he can ask you questions that are going to relate to your business, so you can follow through a little better.
Well, that was the other thing that I find a lot of times is, many times when I'm working with clients, their issue is, there's no proactivity going on in their taxes. They go to them April 15th or February when the you know, tax numbers come in, and they say, well, here's all my stuff, instead of, well, what about November or October, or what kind of proactive activities can you do? They're not getting a lot of that. How can somebody get more of a proactive direction from their CPA? First question. The second question is, you know, how do you do that? Because you do a great job with us and just talking to us about things that are going on. I know it's going through your mind. How do you get that information out to people?
Well, we do kind of pride ourselves on being proactive. That probably is the number one complaint I hear when people do switch is, I heard about something I can do to reduce my taxes in June, and I already filed them in April. You know, that doesn't help much. It's tough to do those things. So we really try to be proactive, and it takes both parties. You need a CPA who can be proactive, and you need a client who's willing to be proactive. You know, you can only do so much. So what we do is, we provide our clients, whenever there's tax law changes out there, we try to email them, hey, take a look at this. And we kind of keep it light. I try not to make it too legalese or too professional. It's, you know, in June, I might put one out about the Braves, and in the bottom of it, say, hey, don't forget these laws have changed. Take a look at it.
Right.
You know, does this apply to you? And I put a little bit of onus on my clients, and I say, you know, if you need this, I can't call everybody up and walk you through this and take the time to do it, but I can email it to you. I can post stuff. I can work with you on it. And then if you read it and you have questions, get back to me. And we really try to be proactive in that way. I just put a big email out to all my clients, and I called it Trick or Treat or Taxes. And we came out around Halloween. And,
I like it.
You know, you got to kind of keep it light. And it hit a lot of topics, especially, you know, we just had a major tax law pass at the end of September. This year alone, I don't think people realize it, we had 7 tax acts passed, and I think we might have another one before the end of the year. So,
were any of them good news for the small business guy, or no?
Yeah, they are. There's some tax credits in there that the small business guy can take advantage of. There's some big depreciation changes that the small business guy can take advantage of. There, you know, and then of course we had the big healthcare stuff change, which can go
not
both
so
ways. Yeah.
Kind of good.
One step forward, 2 steps back, maybe a little
yeah,
bit.
That's a tough one. Right.
But there are a lot. And if you look over the last couple of years, I mean, it really, you know, for job security for us, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. They're changing the tax code about 5 or 6 times a year. So to stay on top of it, we have to educate our clients. We have to let our clients know when we're working with them, hey, you're going to get these. This isn't spam. I don't send this out just to say hi. I mean, usually there's something to it. Read it and get back to me. And then we try to, if we know certain tax laws are out there that affect certain individuals, we do try to make that attempt to directly call those individuals and say, hey, look, I don't know if you saw this in the email, but this directly applies to you. We might want to talk a little bit more in detail about it.
Right. What if you had to pick out one or two items that are credits or little known opportunities for people that are trying to reduce their taxes, what would one or two ideas be? Just, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
All right.
Have some more babies. No? Yeah. Does that not work?
You make too much money, you start losing everything. Exemptions, deductions, forget it. You just
I don't have a kid, but I'd imagine they cost a lot more than that $2,000 a year credit
they
you might
do.
Get.
They do. I got a gaggle of them, and let me tell you. Stone's got kids going to college, and we got people all over the place.
The little things out there the businessman can be aware of is take a look at the tax credits. Training is something we work a lot with in Georgia, and you don't think of it as a tax credit, and it is. Georgia is a good state. I mean, especially right now, it's the in thing to do is to bash the government, bash the state, and to move on. But sometimes you got to look through the in thing to do and look what's best for you. And there are some little nooks and crannies in Georgia law that you got to take advantage of. And training is something we found that we can work with our clients on, that's out there. They don't realize they're doing it, and they are. And we've been able to recover some tax dollars for our clients in that way. Another one, it goes back to earlier, planning. I mean, you don't think about it, but planning is important. I mean, just think simple. You go to drop stuff off after Christmas, and you go to the Goodwill on January 2nd. Well, that deduction could have been 2 days earlier, and now you can take it in your current year taxes as opposed to waiting a year before you really see the benefit of it.
Right.
So it's education and training between the client and the professionals. And I think those two things are just some little things that all businesses and all individuals can really benefit from.
Good, good. Obviously, we've been through some tough economic times, and that doesn't change for whether you're a home builder or whether you're a CPA or whether you're a financial advisor. It's been difficult. Would you say that in the last couple of years you've survived or have you thrived?
Is there a middle?
Yeah, there's a middle.
Because I don't think we've thrived to an extent where you're living on cloud nine. And we have strived to stay where we are. So we're kind of in the middle. But with doing that, you got to kind of make your lemons out of your lemonade out of your lemons, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can sit there and wait for the economy and wait for the government to do their changes and hope it affects you, or you can look at your own industry and your own possibilities and try to change with it. And for the most part, we've taken a little bit of that approach. We try to up our marketing. We try to go to clients where normally they might not listen to us. They might be too big. They might need a certain thing and not think of a 8-person firm in Marietta.
Right.
But once we get in front of them and we educate people on referrals for us, we find that they do listen now. People are like, do we really need the super strong firm for everything we're doing? Can we cut costs? Can we use a local firm? Can we make a local impression? And we've tried to work with that way. We kind of keep our identity as a traditional CPA firm, but change it a little bit by adjusting with the market to try to promote our own business and to work with new clients.
How has staff been for you? Have you had challenges in kind of going through this period of downturn? Have you had turnover? Have you been able to upgrade staff? How's that been for you?
We've picked up, actually, one employee. And our staff are great. I love our staff. They work hard, and they come in. They know their stuff. They know what they're doing, and it makes our life so much easier. So we've been very, very fortunate with our staff that have been continued to work with us. And we're looking to grow. So the ones we've been able to bring on, we've been looking at it from almost a different aspect. You look at the qualifications of the employee, their skills, but you also need someone that fits your persona of a firm. Someone that's going to understand that doesn't always have to be white shirt, red tie, but maybe a little bit more relaxed. And some people want white shirt, red tie.
Yeah.
And it goes from both parties. So we want an employee that likes the way we run our business, and we want someone that appreciates that. So that's how we've been kind of searching for those employees, as well as the technical skills also.
Yeah. Have you found there's a lot of skills out there? Is it fertile ground in the world that you're looking for in terms of employees or people with those skills?
In the CPA market, yeah. Unfortunately, there are a lot of great qualified people out there. It's just a matter of when do you need them and can they fit the mold of what you're exactly looking for.
Yeah. How do you see the landscape shaping up for the next 5 years in terms of business and business growth, either for yourself or some of your employees or your clients that you're working with? Because you have a kind of a unique position where you're able to see all sorts of different industries and organizations and people and businesses? And how do you see things going in the next 5 years?
Well, with everybody else, I hope they're going really good.
He's an optimist.
That's right. I mean, got to be, right?
You got to be. I mean, we don't get up in the morning and do everything and hope for failure. So I'm hopeful. We've been very fortunate. We have great clients that are willing to adapt to change and willing to look at the economy and say, okay, things are tough. How do we keep moving? What are little things we've got to do to keep a business going and try to set some benchmarks? So we get to see it from all others. I mean, some firms are and companies are struggling. I mean, we read that in the media and we see it every day. But there's some that are re-identified themselves and are doing tremendous and are growing and using some of the benefits that are provided in the laws and understanding them and growing their businesses and not only just growing it here, but trying to say, hey, we can do the same thing in other states, other countries. Where do we need to be? So it's hard because you don't want to, if you're doing well, it's a tough time to say you are because not many people are.
Right, right.
But you should be. I mean, every once in a while, I think we do need to hear people are doing well and utilizing the laws and listening and re-identifying themselves and doing the best they can and reaping some rewards and encouraging those who are not quite there yet and, you know, helping them and giving them a breath of fresh air. I mean, we can all turn the TV on or read the paper and it's like, all right, more doom and gloom. But every once in a while, you need some good news. You need to know, hey, these guys are doing it. How are they doing it? What can we do to follow them? So I am lucky because I see both. You know, I do get to see the good guys and I try to tell the people who aren't and are hanging on that, hey, look, it can change. These guys did it. You know, this is what they did.
What are the people doing? Is there anything that you can categorize that says, hey, these are the people that are doing real well? What are they doing differently versus maybe the ones that aren't? Is it just industry or?
Industry is a big part of it. And it's, I think a lot of it's willingness to change and educating yourself on your industry and around you, knowing your competitors and how to break through.
Mm-hmm.
They spend a lot of time doing that. I mean, all the guys I know that have kind of turned the corner and have having good years, they're not doing it because it just falls in their lap. They're working with good people. They've hired good people. They've got good advisors. And they're saying, hey, this has happened. How do we avoid this? And they've also planned for it. You know, they kept the money in the pillowcase.
Right.
And have been able to go back to it and say, okay, good thing we did that. Now we might need it for this next couple months. But what other opportunities are out there? How do we branch our market out? You know, what's there for us to be available? So, like we talked about tax planning, they're planning for their business. You know, they don't just sit there and live day to day, but they spend 24/7 trying to work at it and grow it and looking at markets and pushing the envelope and making it. And it's tough because they have families and friends and they're missing out on opportunities, but they've chosen right now to take this other route. And not saying the people who haven't struggled and haven't put the time and effort into it.
Right.
Sometimes it's the luck of the draw and sometimes it is an industry-driven thing.
All right. Well, last question I have, and then maybe Stone has a follow-up on that, is what do you think, Kane and David, and you working with clients, what makes you different than, you know, looking up any other CPA group in the Atlanta area?
They have me.
That's a great answer.
That's right.
Got to boast yourself every once in a while, right?
That's right.
I think what makes us different is we've come from larger firms, and we try to bring a bigger firm mentality, and it's, you know, we try to give the service, and everyone's going to say we give great service. No one's going to say that, but we really do. I mean, when people call me, they get me. You know that, John. We've worked together, and you pick up the phone. You don't go through three or four people to get to me. We give that type of attention. We try to be proactive with our clients. We try to do the planning. We try to take some of the laws that are out there and get creative with our clients. We're working on some of them. I said earlier there was a law passed in September, and we're finding ourselves working with these new laws with new clients and trying to restructure operations and bring new opportunities and ideas to them. So I think that's what really separates us. You know, we try to give that extra service. We try to make sure we're proactive. We do a lot of work in multi-state work and international. So we're going to our clients and saying, hey, look, you know, you're doing this. We might be able to take advantage of these other things, or maybe we tweak this or we move that and just kind of educate our clients and then get educated on their business and then kind of grow it from there. And I think that's been a big part of our success is the proactiveness and the attention to detail and the kind of thinking outside the box. You know, I got some friends that are some brilliant accountants and I kind of joke with them. I'm kind of like, they're like a reverse superhero because they know so much that they, every time someone comes to an idea, they know so much that they shoot it down, which you want to know.
Right.
But if you're going to shoot an idea down, you got to, okay, but maybe we can do it this way and still accomplish the same goal. So we want to be the good superhero, not the reverse superhero, and try to think outside the box with our clients and try to know their needs and say, okay, that's not going to work. What other options do we have? How can we get you from A to B other than that straight line that you want to do?
Well, perfect. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Stone, you got anything else for our CPA today?
Well, yeah, I'm curious about a couple of things, and this is going to be a non-issue now that you've appeared on Biz Rocket Radio. But prior to now, I'm curious, how does a professional services firm like yours go to market? What kinds of things do you do to market your services?
We beg. We go out to meet as many people as we can. We use the network, you know, the financial network.
This is a professional services outfit, or
not? I mean, you just try to find friends and contacts. Like John, for example. John and I have tried to do business now for a couple years. We've been working together, and you know, you try to find people that that work with clients you want to meet, whether it's a financial planner, a banker, an attorney, insurance, entrepreneurs, and. You know, sometimes you just ask. You ask your clients, you know, hey, if you know anybody, if you're happy with what we're doing, it sounds old school, but it works. I mean, I'll give you a quick example. I did it the other day. I left a client of mine that was a manufacturer, and next door to him was another manufacturer. And I just said, hey, do you know those guys? And he said, yeah, and we know them really well. Why? And I was like, oh, we're just trying to grow and get in this development. And he goes, hold on a minute. And he just picked up the phone, called their controller, said, I've got a new accountant we've been using. We're really happy with him. You need to meet him. The guy said, okay, send him over. And I walked across the street, and there he was.
Oh, I love that.
Sometimes you just got to ask. Right?
Sometimes, I mean, it sounds
that's great.
Basic, but you have to ask. If someone's happy with what you're doing and you want to keep doing it for other people, they're in some type of circle, some type of connection, whether it's family, friends, or business, and you just ask. You never know. I mean, worst they're going to do is say, no, I don't know anybody, but they're still your client. They're not going to run away from you. You know, I've never been fired for asking someone for a referral, you know, so...
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I've been trying to approach it.
Excellent. Well, and the last question that I had, I just want, is it overkill for a small business person like me? I've got a couple of joint ventures. I do some speaking work. You know, I don't have the big deep pockets like our producer, Alan, but, you know, I make a pretty comfortable living. Is it overkill to have a financial planner, a tax guy, a stockbroker, a bookkeeper? How much does somebody really need, or is that just so idiosyncratic, so case-sensitive?
I think it's both. I think it is a little case-sensitive because... You don't want to just spend it if you don't need to. But if you can be doing something to generate more money than what it costs you to have someone do it for you, you win. So if you want to do your own books as opposed to hiring a bookkeeper or CPA, that's fine. But that's taking time away from your profession. And is that what you want? Can you make more money getting out there, pounding the pavement, turning an inventory, working with your business, or... You know, is it just dead time where it's like, oh, I got nothing better to do. Might as well work on my books, do my taxes, you know, things like that. I think it's important. That has to be the driver, is kind of the old cost-benefit thing. And, you know, I think it's great to have all of them, you know, because the CPA can then introduce themselves to the financial planner, who can then go back and we can both work with the bookkeeper. And then, of course, you got to know the attorney. So we all can do our talking. At the end of the day, we sit down with the client, say, hey, look, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. This is what you're doing, and this is why. And then the client doesn't have to waste time out of his day to get the answer he needs when he's got a good team that all works together on his behalf.
Well, and I would think that that's got to be paramount, that all you guys play nicely together, right? You don't want a stockbroker that bristles with your, you know, with your tax guy, right?
Right. You want everyone to do it. And, you know, when you're hiring these advisors, you need to know, let them know, hey, by the way, my accountant's Mark Fishman, my financial planner's John Baker. You know, you need to let the other guy know that. So, A, they might know each other, which is always nice because then they already have that established. Or, B, if they don't, one might want to call the other one and say, hey, I'm going to start working with Stone here, and I need some advice on how he does things. I want to, you know, what are you doing? I want to make sure my plan fits with your plan that you're already working with him on.
Terrific. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show this afternoon. A couple of things before we let you go. One, we do have a little tradition here on Biz Rocket Radio. We like to share with our listeners, if you don't mind, just a quick business tip, something that they can apply immediately. Related to your profession would be great, but just anything, because you're also a seasoned business person, anything that might help them that they can apply immediately to have a more productive, prosperous 2011.
I'm going to go back to the two I said earlier. I think, you know, from my perspective, you can't do enough planning and projecting and working with your advisors. Just do that. And I know you're thinking, well, that doesn't save money in your pocket today, but it will in the long run. And you've got to know these things. You've got to be educated so you as the business owner and the individual can make the right decisions. And I like the training credits. So we seem to take a lot of advantage of that. Essentially, if you're providing any technical training in the state of Georgia, whether you train your staff or you bring in a third party, you could potentially qualify for the credit. So take a look around. Try to see, hey, did we do training? Did we buy new software? Did we buy new widget machines? You know, did we learn a new, you know, web development, a new billing system, whatever it may be, phone systems even today? You know, you go out for iPhone training. You know, you might be able to get that qualified.
I like it.
So it's just trying to think of things you're doing and then using those ideas to benefit yourself with. So those would, I'd probably stick with those two as my original tips of the day.
Tips of the day.
Yeah, well, very solid counsel, man. How can our listeners get in touch with you personally or learn more about Kane and David and about the services that you guys provide?
Feel free, go to our website at kanedavid.com or, you know, give me a call. You can reach me. My number is 770-293-0041. Or you can email me at mfishman@kanedavid.com. That's one word, and that's Kane as in C-A-I-N-D-A-V-I-D. So anything like that, feel free. I'm always up for hearing ideas and other things. I think every once in a while that's where you get your best ideas. If you go out to a party and your spouse walks away or you walk away and someone comes, hey, I got a quick question for you, and you make great cocktail talk.
Well, thanks again so much for joining us. It's been a terrific conversation. I think we learned a great deal. How about you, John? You learn anything in this one?
Absolutely. I've known Mark for many years, and I always get one or two extra new things when I talk to him. So he's a good guest for sure.
Well, yeah.
I really appreciate you guys having me and giving me this opportunity to speak and to all your listeners and everybody. So thank you very much.
All right.
You are more than welcome. Until next time, this is Stone Payton, John Baker, Mark Fishman, our producer, Alan Dobrinsky, and everyone here at the Radio X family, saying we'll see you next time on Biz Rocket Radio.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.